Good morning, everybody. So my name is Sarah, and I'm from the University of Adelaide, which is in South Australia. And today I'm going to be presenting some work on phosphorus in crop residues, and more specifically the different forms of phosphorus in crop residues, as it's the form of phosphorus that's important, as this determines the fate and availability of phosphorus derived from residues in soils. So increasingly we're seeing growers using stubble retention in their farm management. And as we know, stubble retention or no-till methods leave the residues on the soil surface, and subsequent crops are then directly sown into these residues, which are depicted in the images on the screen. And this is in comparison to conventional tillage methods or burning, where we either get removal or incorporation of the residues into the soil. So the switch towards stubble retention marks an important change in residue management, and it's important for us to know the fertility benefits that can be gained from this sort of management. So where does residue phosphorus fit in the soil P cycle? Well, as we know, plants take up phosphorus from the solution pool in the form of orthophosphate, and majority of the phosphorus will be translocated to the seeds. And there will be a proportion of phosphorus remaining in the stem and leaf, the chaff and root material. And it's those different plant components which contain phosphorus which make up our residue phosphorus pool. So as I mentioned, there are different forms of phosphorus in that residue phosphorus pool. So there's the potential for there to be orthophosphate in these residues, which could be directly leached into our solution phosphorus pool. From there, we could get plant roots or soil microorganisms competing for that phosphorus source. Secondly, we may also have some more easily degradable organic phosphorus forms, which again will be decomposed by microorganisms and contribute to our microbial phosphorus pool. And lastly, we may have some more resistant forms of P in our residue phosphorus pool, which will contribute to a stable organic P pool. So at the start of this work, we were really hypothesising two different scenarios for the fate of residue P in soils. In the first scenario, majority of that phosphorus we were considering to be organic phosphorus, and this means it would require the decomposition by microorganisms to get mineralisation of that phosphorus to an inorganic phosphorus form, which could then potentially be taken up by plant roots. In that scenario, a critical carbon to phosphorus ratio would be really important, because that residue phosphorus will require the decomposition by microorganisms. In the second scenario, we were considering that there's also a large proportion of inorganic P in those residues. And the important difference here is that if we do have a large proportion in an inorganic form, there's the potential for that phosphorus to be directly taken up by plant roots. And as I mentioned previously, microorganisms will also potentially be able to take that up, and they'll convert it into an organic phosphorus form. And again, in the first situation, we'll have to get mineralisation of that phosphorus and conversion into an inorganic P form. So really, we wanted to get better phosphorus speciation so that we could predict the fate of residue phosphorus in cropping soils. So how did we go about doing this? Last year, at the end of December, just before growers were harvesting their crops, I was going out into the field and sampling different crop types. And I was then taking those different residues back into the laboratory, where I separated them into the stem and chaff and seed material myself. In this particular experiment, I did not sample the roots. These residues were then oven dried, ground, and total carbon, phosphorus, and nitrogen analyses were done. And for the more detailed phosphorus speciation, we were using a technique called 31 phosphorus nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, which I'll refer to as NMR. And basically, for that analysis, we do a sodium hydroxide EDTA extraction of our crop material. And this method is commonly used for organic phosphorus speciation in soils. So once we do the sodium hydroxide extraction, we take that extract, we freeze dry it, and then that can then be taken up in water and analysed using the NMR. So as I mentioned, I separated the stem, chaff, and seed material into separate components. And this graph just shows, just depicts that normally we think of residues as predominantly our stem material, but as we can see in this case, chaff was a significant amount for our wheat, canola, and lupins. And we were also assuming that there is the potential to be a 2% grain loss at harvest, either occurring prior to harvest, we might get some seed losses, or during the harvesting process. That value varies a lot in the literature, depending on seed size and improvements in technology, but in this case we've assumed a 2% loss. So if we think about a wheat crop which yielded 4 tonnes per hectare, that would roughly leave about 80 kilos of seed on the soil surface, almost 1 tonne of chaff, and approximately 3 tonnes per hectare of stem material. So just looking at the general chemistry of the stem material only, because that is the largest percentage plant part, we had in the table I've compiled them into our cereals at the top. We then got canola and our legumes at the bottom. We had different total phosphorus contents with our peas, with our legumes tending to have lower total P. And obviously having a lower total phosphorus content translates to a higher carbon to phosphorus ratio. The carbon to phosphorus ratios are quite high and they are certainly comparable to other field collected residues, but they may be slightly higher than those sorts of residues that you'll see grown in the glasshouse or hydroponically. So using the NMR technique, basically this is the sort of spectrum that we were getting for our different plant materials. In this particular case, we're looking at the stem residue from our pea crop. So we were getting a single sharp peak for orthophosphate. We were then getting a cluster of organic of peaks which are associated to organic phosphorus forms, and then we were also seeing some pyrophosphate on the end. So initially we started off by analysing the stem material only, and in this spectrum is slightly different to that previous spectrum because we've also got our reference material, our MDP, which is a known amount of phosphorus added to each sample so that we can then calculate the amount of phosphorus in each of the different forms. So the first thing that we noticed that there was quite a high peak for orthophosphate in all of our residue, in all of the stem material for our residues. And then the amount of organic phosphorus, which is the small cluster of peaks to the right, was really consistent for all of the crop types. And it was really only the amount of orthophosphate varying between the different types of crops. So this fits in with thoughts that as plants take up luxury phosphorus, they will store it in the form of orthophosphate in cell vacuoles. So in a comparison between oat and lupins, oat had a higher total phosphorus content, which has the higher peak for orthophosphate, compared to lupins, which had a lower total phosphorus content and has a lower, has a shorter peak for orthophosphate. Now looking at the more detailed speciation, which also includes our organic phosphorus forms, in blue we have depicted our orthophosphate, which as I mentioned is a large component in the stem material. The organic phosphorus forms, we associated the peaks to phospholipids and RNA, which are the red and green, and then also the pyrophosphate on the end, which is an inorganic phosphorus form which is readily hydrolyzable in soils. Of those two organic P forms, RNA and phospholipids, it's been shown that those forms of phosphorus are quite easily degraded in soils as well. So we really weren't seeing any evidence that there is any forms of phosphorus that we'd see contributing to a stable organic phosphorus pool in soils. Also interestingly, in that first stem material, we really weren't seeing any differences in speciation between our different crop types. It was only when we started looking at the chaff residue that we started to see some differences in phosphorus speciation. So working our way from the bottom of the graph, again we were detecting amounts of orthophosphate in the chaff material, phospholipids and RNA. Pyrophosphate was only detected in the bean residues, and for our cereals and also canola, we were detecting the presence of phytate. So phytate is known to be the major storage form of phosphorus in plant seeds. It was interesting to see it in the chaff material. It is believed that phytate is highly stable in soils. However, there has been some recent work using incubation studies which suggests that actually phytate may be a bioavailable form of phosphorus. And lastly, looking at our stem material, as I just said, phytate is the major storage form of phosphorus in plant seeds. And there were some slight differences between the legumes versus the other crops with the presence of RNA in the legumes as opposed to the other ones. But as I mentioned, the seeds contribute a smaller proportion to the residue people annually. So when combining the percentage of stem, chaff and seed material and then dividing those just into organic and inorganic pea forms, it becomes quite evident that we did have at least greater than 40% inorganic pea in our crop residues, with oats, rye and canola being slightly higher than the rest. So once we had this good understanding of phosphorus speciation in our crop residues, then we then did a simple water extraction on the stem material only. So this was using ground stem material, adding some water, sonicating it to disrupt the cell walls and release all of the phosphorus into solution. And we were able to show that quite a large proportion of the phosphorus in crop residues was water soluble. that on average was about 80%. So when comparing that to our knowledge of the original P forms in our stem residues, orthophosphate did not comprise 80% in all of the stem material. So from that we could assume that we were starting to get hydrolysis of some of the organic P forms in those residues during our simple water extraction, which highlights how easily available some of the P forms in these crop residues are. So going back to our two initial hypotheses, we can see that it's the second scenario where we have organic and inorganic P forms in crop residues, which is better at describing the fate of phosphorus from that's derived from our residues. So just to summarise those key points, orthophosphate is a major form of phosphorus in crop residues. The simple organic phosphates that we did detect as RNA and phospholipids are known to be rapidly mineralised in soils, and there's also suggestion that phytate would also be quite easily decomposed in soils. And lastly, that water extraction showed that quite a high proportion of the phosphorus in our ground stem material was readily available. Thank you.
That was a perfect timing. We can entertain one to two questions for Sarah.
In this particular case, we're sampling out in the field, and I didn't sample them just to the complexity of sampling root material. I have a current experiment going at the moment where I'm growing some glasshouse residues, and I will be looking at the roots and their speciation in that.
Once a residue is cut and left on the ground, and your initial rainfall or irrigation passes over, what proportion do you think is relatively leached out?
Yep. So as I mentioned, that was the water extraction was done on ground stem material, so we were getting release quite rapidly of the phosphorus. We have done some work using larger pieces of residues. They were 3 and 5 centimetre pieces, and that was just done by simply immersing those materials in water, and some of the residues. Almost 80% of the phosphorus that we were seeing was released in a 7-day experiment, where for some of the other ones, they didn't quite get close to that. I don't really have a firm number on the percentage that I would say would come out of large pieces standing in the field, but it certainly would be less than the 80%.
We've seen about 20%.
Right.
Thank you. There was another question? Yes, sir.
With your special assignments, did you see any phosphate molestants?
That's because we're assigning them to phospholipids and RNA peaks. No. Okay. For the similar crop types that I've presented here.
I see that roots have the sequence in.
Okay.
That's why roots can be actually a pretty significant contributor to
All right. Very good, Sarah. Let's move on to